Amen. Thank you, Chris. Good morning. Welcome. Glad that you're here. We're kicking off this new series today called Wayfinding, and it's one that's kind of been on my mind for quite some time now. It was one that God gave me years and years ago when the movie Moana came out, so you know it's going to be super spiritual. There was a specific quote from Maui to Moana about this phrase, wayfinding. And this is really, like that little quote, I was like, man, that could be so good about like our journey with God. And so the quote from Maui was, it's knowing where you are by knowing where you've been. It's called wayfinding, knowing where you are by knowing where you've been. And in this moment, you know, they're out on the sea and they're going to their destination and just, they're figuring things out. But it's a powerful thought. Now, it's good, and I could use that, but I was like, let's look at this from a perspective of who God is. And so for this series, what I decided as I began to put it together, I said, let's look at it in this way. It's wayfinding for us is knowing where you're going by remembering what God's done. And it's such a powerful thought, right? Because in our lives, like when God has shown up, we've seen him shown up, but then something comes up and we forget kind of what he's done before and how he's worked before. And so when we're wayfinding and where God is taking us, man, it's knowing where we're going by knowing what God's done. But not just where we're going, but I think another part of this is knowing who we are by remembering who God is. And it's such a powerful thing. And you know, with the movie Moana and thinking about them traveling by ship, and you know, when they were voyaging, they would use the stars to navigate, right? And that would be kind of their map in the sky. And I was thinking about that too. I'm like, yes, we look upward. We don't look to the stars. We look to the heavens, right? We look to God. We navigate by his signs and wonders, what he's done in our life, what he's done for others, what he's continuing to do. We remember what he's done. We look forward to what he will do, and then we follow wherever he is leading, wherever that may take us. Now, of course, in our voyage of life, like there's going to be uncertainties. There's going to be storm. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be all of these things that come up. And you probably know this, and I know this as well. The moments when we try to navigate without knowledge of God and hope of God, you know what those lead to? Waywardness. Not wayfinding. When we try to go through life and navigate life without his hope, without his knowledge in our life, it doesn't lead to wayfinding, it leads to waywardness. What is waywardness, right? It's not knowing where you are because you don't know or remember what God's done. It's not knowing who you are because you don't know who God is. Waywardness, what does it lead to? Loss, despair, hopelessness, this feeling of just maybe being stuck, maybe being left behind, maybe not knowing how to move forward. And so my goal, what I desire through this series is to help us turn any waywardness we have into wayfinding, really to point us to him, knowing who we are and where we're going by remembering who God is and what he's already done. And this is so important. We've got to look back. We always look back to remember, right? Look back to remember God. What he's done in our life, what he's done in others, look back to his word. We look back to remember. Not our past, not our shame, not our mistakes, not our sin, not our regret, but we look back to remember God. And then as we look back, we press forward to follow God. That's what he's done, and that's what he'll do again. And it's so important that we do that. We remember his signs, we remember his wonders, and we follow him to continue to experience those things in our lives. And also so that we can help others experience signs and wonders as well. As we go through this series, I want to kind of take a voyage with Paul through the book of Acts. There were many different stories and many different journeys that they went on. But here's what we read when you jump into Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. There are signs and wonders taking place. And as you continue to read through Acts, these signs and wonders, what do you see? You see more and more people being healed, more and more people being transformed, more and more people coming to know and hear about Jesus and the salvation that comes from him alone. And so it's those signs and wonders that we look at, right? But you also read through the scriptures and you realize that while there were moments of signs and wonders, the disciples also experienced moments of fear and doubt, uncertainty, all of these things that seek to stop or halt them from moving forward. That's right. To what God, to what God has for them. And so before we get into the book of Acts, we find the disciples hiding in fear behind closed doors. If you go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "In the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews." Now, what just happened? Jesus was arrested and crucified. And so they, for so many years of their life, they were following him and living for him, and that he was, you know, talking about how a new kingdom was coming, and then everything kind of falls out, right? And Jesus, their Messiah, is now supposedly dead. And what do? They feel stuck. And they hide. They feel overwhelmed. And not even that. We also find in John chapter 21 that Peter and the disciples, they went back to what they used to do before Jesus showed up in their life. They didn't know how to move forward, so they just went backwards. In John chapter 21, it says, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And then at the end of it, it said, "And that night they caught nothing," right? And then Jesus shows up. And so it's, you see this take place. And what's so crazy about this, and you read through these stories, is like God had performed the greatest sign, the greatest wonder, the greatest miracle this earth had ever experienced through Jesus, right? His burial and his resurrection. But because of the fear, because the disciples maybe forgot, because Jesus told them what was going to happen. And Jesus showed them signs and wonders. But somehow they got stuck. After Jesus' death, they went through a lot of different things. They went through loss. They went through grief. They went through disbelief. They found themselves hiding, and some of them even going backwards. And this is the truth. The enemy wants to immobilize us, right? Immobilize us with fear and doubt. He wants to just put a stop to what God wants to do in our life. He wants to put a stop to where God is taking us in our life. So where the enemy immobilizes us, God wants to empower us with awe and wonder. And that's why we go to this and we see, man, this awe and wonder, and we use the awe and wonder and the signs and wonders and the miracles of God and the things of God, and we say, that is what I'm going to use to navigate to what's next. I'm not gonna use fear, or shame, or doubt, or disbelief, or just this feeling of stuckness. I'm going to keep moving forward. And this is where I want to start today. So we're going to set off on a wayfinding journey. Like, we're going to go on voyages together and journeys together. Before we ever set off, first we got to get unstuck, right? And maybe today you find yourself feeling stuck in a situation, or stranded, or immobilized. To get unstuck, to no longer feel stranded, to cast off our fear, our doubt, guess what's going to require? Bold moves and courage to continue to follow God. And so I want to dive into the first story in our journey through Acts together. This is not a story of Paul, but it is one that is very, very crucial to Paul's journey, and I believe why we have this account. And it's a story of Stephen, who ended up being the first martyr. I want to read it to you from Acts chapter 6. We'll read verses 8 through 12. Here you go, ready? Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Huh? Pretty cool there. So there's already this thing happening, and God is working and moving. And whenever God is working and moving, the enemy comes up and says, I need to distract, I need to make them lose focus, I need to get them to focus on something else instead of what they're doing. So he's there, full of grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some from what is called the Freedmen's Synagogue came forward and disputed with Stephen, but they were unable to stand up against his wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then they persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, so they came and dragged him off and took him to the Sanhedrin. So here he is, signs and wonders, because he's seen signs and wonders. He's following God, he's working toward God, and then the enemy comes in and says, nope, can't have that. I got to put a stop to this. And they drag him off. And then this moment, Like, Stephen, I think if you look into this, this isn't just a one-time debate. He's debating with them continually, and he's arguing with them, and he's not really arguing, he's trying to help them see and understand this new way in Jesus, and that the old way is done. And so he's stuck. He's stuck in this debate. Why he's stuck in this debate is because those who he's debating with are stuck in their old ways, in their old habits. They can't connect the dots and try to move forward. They are also stuck. And I love his determination to not back down. He continues to speak boldly and powerfully, to press forward. He remembered who God is and what God has done. And because of his willingness, because of his boldness, because of his courage, man, it led to an amazing move of God. Now, for Stephen, they drag him off, right? And they take him to the Sanhedrin. And what do they try to do to get him to stop? They use fear and they use force, right? To stop him from doing what God wants him to do. But instead, he preaches more boldly. And he gives it to them. If you read through this account of Stephen kind of just sharing with them who God is and what he's desired and that they're on the opposite side of what God is doing, they get so mad. And so in Acts 7, I'm going to read verse 51 and then 54 and 56. He says to them, after he does this whole thing, he says, "You stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you were always resisting the Holy Spirit as your ancestors did, so do you." When they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven. Where did he look? He looked up and he saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." It's this powerful moment where Stephen like sees who God is and the glory of God. And it's this confirmation that Stephen, what you're doing is right. You're looking to me. You're following me. Now, if you know the story, you know what happened to Stephen next. Stephen was dragged off and stoned, and he was murdered. And he became the first martyr. And so you look and go, well, it didn't really work out that well for Stephen Falls. Because in Stephen's death, you say it was the end for him, but ultimately, what did it bring? It brought freedom for him. And it led him to a life with God for all of eternity. But I think the biggest thing here is that you see and experience a man who's willing to stand up for his faith and make a statement, and it led to so many more believers coming to know Jesus. And so he's with God in eternity, and by his sacrifice, by what he did, others come into knowing Jesus. There's this moment, it's a powerful moment. I think in this moment, he could have easily backed down and backed away and said, all right, maybe I'll let things cool off and then I'll come back. But he didn't, and he pressed forward. And he had full faith in who God was and what God can do. And he believed, no matter what, that in the end, man, God is going to be given glory. I wonder, in your life, have you ever felt stuck? Maybe stuck by fear. Maybe someone else coming at you, debating with you. Maybe it was doubt in your own abilities and what God has called you to do. I wonder if you ever felt stuck because you're just overwhelmed by all that you have to do, but feeling unaccomplished in so much of it. Have you ever felt stuck juggling too much and feel like you're failing in doing all those things and feeling the people around you that need you? Do you ever felt stuck in doing something out of necessity? Not really that you wanted to do, but it was out of necessity, and you feel like if I don't do it, no one else will do it. Have you ever felt stuck in a habit that has been created in your life over the years, a habit that you learned from somebody else, and it's all you've ever known, and you can't figure a way out of it? A lot of times this manifests itself in sin. But I'm not specifically talking about sin, but have you ever felt yourself stuck? Have you ever felt yourself just thinking, man, does any of this really matter? Does what I'm doing matter? Is what God's calling me to even matter? There have been many times over the last couple of years where I've had seasons or moments where I have felt completely overwhelmed. And there's a lot. And in these moments, where I see God working, I see his signs and wonder, I see everything he's doing, I see God working in people's lives, and I see the fruit of what God has me doing, there this moment where I get stuck in that and I go, it's too much, it's too overwhelming, I can't. And I get to this moment where I just want to give up and I want to quit. And there's a lot of things that factor in. Of course, I'm a parent, right? Gosh, have you ever felt stuck as a parent? Come on, anyone, honestly, you just felt like, I did this yesterday. I had this conversation yesterday. I cleaned up this mess yesterday. I dealt with this yesterday. And you get this, you feel stuck in it. But at the same time, like you want to continue to give love and you feel like you don't have enough to give. And you want to be there and you want to be intentional, but you don't have enough. And so you feel stuck. I feel that as a parent, as a pastor. There are times when I feel stuck. Like I have to do this. I have to keep doing this. If I don't, who will? If I don't speak up, who will? If I don't notice that or say something about that, who will? If I'm not there to encourage, if I'm not available, who will be? And you overwhelmed by being a parent, by being a pastor. And then there are other little things that like I enjoy doing and I love doing, and there are hobbies and they're great, but when you get to this moment in this season and the enemy comes in and begins to attack you, he says, oh, this is too much for you. You should just walk away. Just be done with it. And really there's this little whisper that says, it would be so much easier if you didn't. Anyone relate with that at all? Okay, good, good, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. These are these heavy moments where the enemy puts it all out there and points out all your failings and points out all your mistakes, points out all the areas where you're weak and says, look what you've done. Look at the mess that you've made. It would be easier if you didn't. It would be better for some people if you didn't even try anymore. And then if I'm willing to say, no, you know what, that's a lie, I'm going to keep pushing forward. Then you get into this other kind of battle where you begin to say to yourself, I can't. There's no way out of the things that I have gotten myself into. There's no way out of doing the things that God has called. I can't quit. And you feel like every yes that you say is a no to somebody else. So you always feel like you're letting somebody down. And so you continue to try to not let people down. And there's just this overwhelming feeling of stuckness. It's physical, it's mental. There's a spiritual weariness to it all. And the enemy, he doesn't relent and he doesn't let up. And in those moments, what he tries to do, in those moments of weakness, he tries to get me to forget all that God has done and all that God is doing. But I press on. And I continue to press on. But this is the truth, because when we attempt to follow God with our life, when we fully surrender, when we want to live in his will, the enemy will attempt to immobilize us with lies. And he'll come in and he'll put your weakness in front of your face, and he'll put your mistakes in front of your face. He'll tell you you're a failure. He'll tell you you're a letdown. He'll say all of these things by lying to us. Or maybe he'll immobilize us by overwhelming us. Just he'll keep piling it on and encouraging us. Yep, do that. Yep, do that. Yes, bring that in. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Until all of a sudden, the burden and weight of everything that you're doing, it just crumbles because you can't carry it. And you get to a place where you think only you can do it. And no one else can help, and he overwhelms us. He immobilizes us by getting us to focus and do the things that we shouldn't be doing. I think in these moments, like, it's so important. Like, if you feel stuck, if you feel stranded, of course, we gotta find the cause. I understand the reason. And I kind of just, as I was processing this, I came to three maybe crucial things that we need to look at. Number one, is what I'm currently going through, is my current stuckness, is it self-inflicted, right? Did I do this to myself? Is this what I've been pursuing and desiring, or is this a God thing? How much of what I'm going through and how much of how I feel stuck is because of me? And I think that's a, you know, that you always got to go to you. Is this my fault? Is this my problem? Or is it something else? Because at the end of the day, we got to own up to the things that we do that cause us stress, doubt, you know, to feel anxiety, to feel overwhelmed. That's true for me. There are times and moments where I say, yes, I can do one more thing. But a few other things begin to fall along the wayside because I said yes. So is it self-inflicted? I think there are times when we feel stuck, when it can be situationally inflicted. And maybe there is a circumstance that's happening. Maybe there is a conflict that has gone on. And because that's taking place and maybe there's no resolve to it, you just feel stuck. You feel like you can't move forward. You can't go back. You're just, that is it. That is all. And that has begun to kind of be the identity of your life. And this conflict that you had has led to even more conflict stemming from that because you actually never dealt with it when it happened here. And so now it's projected on the other people around you. So it's conflict inflicted. Maybe something was done to you. You didn't have control over that. But instead of, I don't know, just stepping up to the plate and doing something about it, instead you decided to just have a pity party for yourself. Point fingers, cast blame. And you get stuck doing that. I think the last one could be a season. And I think this is good to recognize. And this is something that I've done in my own life. You look at whatever you're going through, whatever you feel stuck, and maybe it's not feeling stuck, but maybe it's just feeling overwhelmed, and you say, is this just a season? Where the enemy says, I can't, and I shouldn't, and I can't go on. Is this just a season where God is preparing me, God is strengthening me, God is giving me endurance and perseverance? Is this a season where he's preparing me for what's next? Or he's getting me ready, or he's orchestrating something else to take place? Because if it's just a season, and we know it's just a season, then we rely on God to get through that season. And we're all the better for it because we continue to press through that season. It's really important to ask. If you're feeling that, if you're going through that, is this self-inflicted? Is there a situation or circumstance or conflict that is undealt with that is leading to this? Is this just a season of my life in preparation for what's next? And I was thinking about this as it pertains to our story of the disciples and the believers in Acts. And, you know, I already kind of shared, like, for them, they kind of go through some of these things. Like, they went back to what they knew and did before Christ. That was kind of a self-inflicted stuckness, right? They didn't have to do that. They let fear and doubt lead them to that. They found themselves stuck in many theological debates with the religious establishment of the time. That was going to happen, and it had to happen, and it needed to happen so that the truth could be shared. But I could imagine, like, saying the same thing and having the same argument over and over and over again with these people probably got taxing on them. I look at what God was doing in the beginning of Acts, and there was this huge season of growth. I don't know if you know this or not. If you're in leadership or anything like that, and like anytime you have a season of growth, you're going to have more problems. Did you know that? Like, that's just how it works. More problems, more responsibility, more to look after, more to care for, right? In a season of growth, guess what it led to for them? A season of persecution, where they were scattered. But it was just for a season. But even in that season, man, God did miraculous things. I go back to our story. There's this conflict that started with Stephen being bold and being courageous. And you know who was there when Stephen was martyred? It was Paul. And I look at this conflict that started with Stephen, and it led to conflict with Paul, and ultimately it led to the believers being scattered. They were scared. But did you know it? As they were scattered, guess what they continued to go do? Not only were, like, they started preaching in this realm, but then as they were scattered, they didn't stop preaching. They just went out and started preaching to the ends of the earth. And it happened through this conflict. The theological debates, they needed to happen. The growth of the gospel was inevitable and necessary for salvation. Stephen's boldness led to Paul's zeal, like the zeal he had in the opposite direction, and he used it to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. All of it because Stephen was willing to step up, to not cower, to not step back, and to step into what God had for him. In our moments of feeling stuck or stranded, we must remember who God is and what he's already done. And what he promises to do. He showed up before. He can do it again. We experienced his signs and wonders before, and we can experience them again. It's so important, though, like we remember that, and that is a defense for us. Like, we always want to look to the heavens, look to God, look to the signs of water, remember what God did, and press forward. But I think there are some things we can do to defend ourselves against these attacks as well. Because what the enemy wants us to do in any situation, no matter what's going on, where God wants you to be optimistic and positive, encouraging, and inspiring, the enemy wants to speak negativity and pessimism over whatever it is. It could be a God thing, it could be a good thing, it could be just an everyday life thing, and the enemy wants to come in and say negativity, negativity, be pessimistic, this is not good, it's not going to go good, you're not doing good, right? And that's what he speaks over our life. And so if that's what the enemy does, no matter where we find ourselves, and he's going to continue to do that, then in order for us to combat that, we need God's truth, we need God's encouragement, we need God to speak truth and love and joy and hope into our lives. And how does he do that? He does it through his word, and he does it through his spirit, and he does it through his people. I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. We're going through this series and we're talking about shame with the teenagers, and I talked about the power of just sharing what is going on in your life. Because what the enemy wants to do is he wants us to isolate. You're going through something, you're feeling stuck, you're dealing with something, you don't want people to think you're weak, you don't want people to judge you, you don't want people to know what you're going through, and so we back away. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to isolate. He wants to get us alone so he can continue to lie to us and keep us from moving forward with God. And so we got to use God's word, we got to use God's spirit, we got to use God's people for discernment so that we can distinguish if where we are and where we're going is God's will, our will, or the enemy's lies. And we're only going to find it in his word and by his spirit and by his people speaking into our lives. That's where we find it. It's so important to share how we're feeling and what we're going through with others. If you're feeling, you know, weighed down, if you're feeling burdened, if you're feeling stuck, we do that. But I think at the end of the day, it comes back to Matthew 11, 28, 30, and this is Jesus, and this is where no matter the weight, no matter the burden, no matter what you're feeling, no matter the severity of it, we cast our cares on Jesus. We remember that he can carry whatever we're going through. As a matter of fact, he already has. He can overcome. He can see us through. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I've preached about this many times, and that word yoke, it's not one that we use all that often, but when we yoke ourselves to Jesus, basically what we're saying is, Jesus, like, I'm putting all my weight on you, and I'm depending on you to carry this. I'm not going to try to do it alone. I know that I need you to lead me and to guide me. And so we cast our burdens on Jesus. And we do that through prayer, and we do that through confession, and we do that through accountability. But I think that accountability thing comes back to God's people, that we, when we feel those moments where we're stuck and we're overwhelmed, we feel like giving up, man, we got to cast our burdens on the people that God has put around us. I shared this Wednesday night, too, with the teens that, like, it's so important to have this. And I said, I have Chris, and, man, poor Chris. Like, I just word vomit on him all the time. I'm like, Chris, here's all my problems, bro, okay? I need you to, I'm just going to throw them up on you, and then I'm going to go out about my day. It felt good to get it off my chest. Thank you. And it's like, honestly, it's one of those things, like, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm going through. I don't want to keep it in here anymore because I think some of it's lies. Actually, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of lies. And so I want to take those lies and I want to share what the enemy is doing and how he's lying to me. And then Chris comes back and he speaks truth over my life and encourage it over my life. And it's through God and through the word that he is speaking through Chris to me. And it's so important to have that. Now, here's the other thing. This is kind of personal to me, but I'm guessing other people feel this as well. But so with Stephen, if you go back and you read, he was chosen for a specific task and a purpose. And he excelled at it. There was a problem, they put Stephen in charge, and he excelled at it. And this is where we need to find ourselves, especially if we find ourselves feeling overwhelmed, like we're carrying too much, doing too much. There is power when we learn to operate in our calling. When we learn to operate in what God has called us specifically to something, like doing what only we can do and going where God is calling us specifically to go. Now, in that, and I think, and this is something that I've done, that doesn't mean that you do it alone or you go it alone and you're meant to do it alone. But this is what you're called to focus on. This is what you're called to strengthen. And this is what you're called to do. And so when we focus on that and not trying to do all these other things that the enemy puts in front of our way, like he loves to dangle things. Man, if you pursued this, it would be so great. If you went after this, it would bring you joy. If you went after this, it would bring you financial gain. Like he dangles all these things in your face. And God says, no, that's not what I have for you. If you add that on top of what you're already doing, you are going to be overwhelmed. In my life, I do a lot. Sometimes I do too much. And like I said, there have been many moments where I just want to give up and I want to be done. I don't share those moments with many people. Really, not with, there's like a handful of people that know that. Here's what I know. Anytime I get to this place, like it feels real and it feels overwhelming. And what I have to come to a place where I recognize who God called me to be and that the enemy is lying to me. He's lying. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't stuff that I have to fix. And there aren't things that I have to look at and say, hey, there are certain things that you're doing that you should not be doing. And that's hard. It's hard in what I do. There are certain things I can do and do well. And then there are just things that I'm just not good at, you know? I think in the world of being a pastor and leading a church, like there are things that I had to do that I wasn't good at and still am not good at, and I still try to do that just, man, they're barely hanging on, I'll be real honest. Okay, don't look too closely. I tell people that all the time. Everything looks great. We make it look great. Okay, that's one of my gifts and talents. It looks great, but underneath it's all falling apart. Okay, don't look too much into that. I'm just kidding. Certain things I do well, other things I'm not good at. And so I do my very best to remind myself, hey, these are the things that God called me to. Right here, right now, in this season. That's what I got to focus on. Will there be other things that I have to do? Absolutely. Preaching God's word is something that God called me to do. I remember the day he called me to it. He didn't tell me how. He didn't tell me where. He just told me to. And it's something that I've always loved his word, and I've always been enthralled by his word. His word has always come alive to me and been revealed to me, and he's given me the spirit to share it and help you guys understand it as well. I believe that's a gift of mine. And so that's something that every single week, it's a non-negotiable for me. That is what I'm going to be focusing on. That is what I'm going to be pouring into. And there's this, is there a burden that comes with it? Absolutely. I mean, I've done this so long, but every single week I feel the weight of sharing the gospel with people. I feel the weight of maybe saying something that offends somebody. I feel the weight of someone hearing something in a wrong way. But God called me to it, and I have to continue to rely on him to use me in it. It's my calling. He provides what I need. And I'll be honest, every single week when God, like, this is, it fills me up. When I look at God's word and I study God's word and he gives me something, maybe for myself, but oftentimes for you, it fills me up and I say, man, this is, I can't wait until people hear what you have to say, and it is so powerful. The same is true with being in groups. For the longest time, I had this tension where I could only, I thought, hey, I can only focus on getting ready for my sermon each week, so I don't have time for groups. And then about 3, almost 4 years now, I realized that it was in groups with other men that God would kind of give me what I needed, or the strength I needed, or the encouragement I needed, or the feeling that I needed to step into preaching on a Sunday. And I'm thankful for it. Yesterday, I had an amazing group with my men. There was 4 of us. And we just got to talk and we got to study God's word and just hearing like what God says to other people about his word and the revelation that he gives him. It speaks so much to me. And I love just seeing these revelations. I love seeing all the connection points. But then there's just talking and doing life together. In the midst of our conversation yesterday, like we were just talking about different things and varying things and leadership and in the workplace and the comment of just sometimes feeling stuck in it came up, and I'm like, this is it, this is what I'm talking about, and that is encouraging to what God has shown me. And so groups fill me up. Right now, if you didn't know, for the last 3 months I've been leading the youth ministry as well. Now let me tell you, I love youth ministry. Did it for 6 years. It is a passion of mine, it is a desire of mine. I love helping teenagers connect to the word of God. But I will tell you, in this season, it's a lot for me to handle. I've told Chris, I said, I can do it, but I can't sustain it. But I as I'm doing it, what I recognize is that it's a season. And it's honestly, what I'm seeing, it's a needed season. And God has me in it for a reason. And as long as he continues to give me what I need to do it, I'll do it until he brings in what's next. It's powerful to see God work and move in that way. And I am praying for the day that he brings in the next person to lead that. And I would encourage you to pray. Pray for that. We are currently in the process of interviewing candidates to step into that role. Pray that we find and use discernment for the right person for that role so that they can continue to lead these teams in the way that they need. And pray for me and my wife and my kids and my family and everything else. Now, I want to move on, but I will say there are other things that I do. So like Echo Coffee, I've had many conversations about the coffee house, and man, that must be so much on you. And honestly, you ever have one of those things that you do and you love it so much that it fills you up to the brim? Like I don't know. I look at what I do over there, and honestly, it's like a hobby of mine. And it's not taxing, it's not overwhelming. And I look at it, well, first and foremost, I get coffee, right? And I can drink it whenever I want and make it how I want. So that's amazing. But at the same time, because I give so much and I'm always expelling so much in all these different areas, there's something about stepping in there and just having coffee and serving people coffee. It's just different. And it's almost, I'm going to call it mindless, brainless for me, because it is. It just comes natural. I just love it. I love talking about it. But at the same time, it gives me the opportunity to be with people that I normally wouldn't have the opportunity to be with. And so it fills me up. And I know it may just be for this season. I'll be sad when the season is over, but I'll be so thankful for it as well. I love all of these things. Some of them I'm doing for a season. When I feel stuck, when I feel overwhelmed, I'm gonna have the band come forward. Here's what I do. And it's what I've been telling you this whole time. I remind myself of who God is, of what he's done. In my life personally, in my family, of what I've seen him do in past churches, in past youth ministries, and what I've seen him do in Kairos Church, and what I've seen him do in people's lives. When the enemy comes in and starts lying to me, I remind him of all the goodness that God has done through me. And it's a powerful thing. And I think you need to do the same in your life. I remind myself of why I'm doing what I'm doing and who I'm doing it for. If it's for me, if it's for my gain, if it's for my glory, it's no good. But if it's for him, to lead people to him, it's so good. It's the signs and wonders that the Bible talks about. When people come to know Jesus in their life, surrender and submit their life to Jesus, that's the why. Don't ever lose sight of that. That's the why. I remind myself that as I continue to rely on God and others around me, I don't have to give up. I don't have to feel stuck because he's got my back. So maybe for you, you're there. You've been encouraged and I've given you some things, but if you feel stuck or stranded or overwhelmed, get someone else's perspective. If you've been holding on to something, if you've just been kind of internalizing it and yet you haven't really come to a conclusion, share it with somebody. Have them speak into it. If you're overwhelmed and you're doing too much, I'm gonna speak distance. Let someone help you. And I know that like strikes a chord with many people, myself included. Let people help you. You don't have to do it all alone. The weight doesn't have to fall all on you. Let people help you. And then remove what you can so you can strengthen what you should be doing. This is so important. Focus on what, I love this, focus on what today needs from you and deal with the rest tomorrow, right? I think it's a powerful truth for all of us. We get so overwhelmed, we get so caught up on what's happening the next day down the road, and God's just like, hey, focus on me, focus what I got you doing today, and we'll worry about tomorrow tomorrow. Give us today our daily bread so that we can get through it. Now, I was thinking about the disciples. You want to know how the disciples got unstuck? Jesus showed up. Honestly, they're in a room, they're hiding. Jesus pops into the room to speak into and to come against their fear and disbelief. Jesus shows up. Do you want to know how Paul gets unstuck because he's persecuting Christians? You want to know how he gets unstuck? Jesus shows up in a radical, transforming way. He shows up, knocks him off his high horse, and says, hey, I love your passion, I love your desire, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Do it for me. At the end of the day, it's Jesus. In the moments when we can't find our way, we need Jesus to remind us that he is our wayfinder. It's him. We look to him. He's got us. He can help us. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'm sure this has been resonating with you, and you've been thinking through those areas, but let me just spark it and ask it again. Where are you feeling stuck today? Where are you feeling stranded? What lies of the enemy have you been caught believing? And your stuckness, is it self-inflicted? Is it seasonal? Is it situational? And really, like, it's one thing to say, yes, I know where I'm stuck. I think we could all easily recognize where we're stuck. But what are you going to do to get unstuck? What step do you need to take today? Do you need to look up? Do you need the reminder of who God is, of what he's done? Somewhere along the way, have you forgotten his grace and his love and his mercy? Have you forgotten that all that you are today, all that you have today, is because of him? And I think sometimes we get stuck because we lack gratitude. Maybe that's it for you today. Maybe you're looking at it all the wrong reasons. The lies, the deception, the feelings of overwhelm, just being overwhelmed, the anxiety. It's all led to a negative, pessimistic attitude about a certain situation, about a certain person, about a certain thing. Man, today, can I encourage you, instead of being pessimistic and negative about it, look to God and speak his life and his joy and his hope. Don't say this never will change. Say no, with God and by his power, it can change. But it requires us to take a step. See where we're stuck. And then we cast off whatever we don't need. The thing that's burdening you, the thing that's weighing you down, you share it with others. And ultimately, you share it with Jesus. God, I thank you for your word today and for sharing with us today and showing us today. I thank you for speaking this into my life and over my life time and time again. I thank you for the grace that you've given me in this and in my mistakes. And I pray for every single person in here. I pray for someone who feels stuck in a job. I pray for someone who feels stuck in a relationship or a relationship issue. I pray for someone who just feels stuck and they're not moving forward, or they just don't know where to go or what to do. They feel like all the things of the past and the mistakes and the shame is keeping them from you. God, would you remind them today that you are the way finder and you are the way maker? And have them not look down and be dejected, but have them look up. Look to you. Be fulfilled and be empowered to take that next step, to cast off, to enter into that voyage, into that journey that you have for them, whatever it may be. And may they never forget that your son Jesus gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. And through him, we can do all things. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.